Right, exactly.
Maybe I could trouble you to.
Okay.
Want to close the doors?
Okay. Can you get
to the door? So, our choice today is Borer. We've chosen Borer. And Borer is not the easiest melacha on the list. We're trying to make some progress. We're looking at a sugya on daf Kuf Lamed Ches. And the Gemara here is touching on a case of Meshamer, where he pours the wine into the sieve and the wine falls through the holes and the sediments stand, you know, they're held up on top. And that's how he separates the two, which seems to be a case of separating Ochel Mitoch Psolus. And in our context, we would have assumed that separating Ochel Mitoch Psolus is Moleches Borer. But the problem is that the Mishnah in Klal Gadol has another Moloch that's very, very similar to Moleches Borer. And that's the Moloch of Barakid. And the Gemara asks, therefore, in the case of Meshamer, when he pours the wine through the sieve to separate the sediments, Mishumai Masrin Bey, what is the proper, the accurate Hasra that we give him? Rabba Omar Mishum Borer. Rabba says we give him a Hasra for Borer. The Rabbi Zera Omar Mishum Merakid. Rabbi Zera identifies this as Merakid. Omar Rabba Kavasi Didi Mistavra. Ma darko shel borer notel ochel umeniach hapsoles af hochanami notel sa ochel umeniach es hapsoles. So he's, in effect, he's taking the wine away from the sediments. He's separating the wine from the sediments. That's meleches borer. On Rab Zera kavasi vidi mistavra, I think it's more logical to identify this as merakid. Ma darko shel merakid psoles milamala vi ochel milamata. Af hochinami psoles milamala vi ochel milamat. So we want to understand the machlokas here between Rabba and Rab Zera, according to Rashi and according to Rabbeinu Chananel. Let's just review what we know. Rashi holds that according to Rabba, he's chayv not only for merakid but also for borer, and therefore according to Rashi, he would have two chatos. He would be chai for two different molochos. The chiddush of Rabba, then, according to Rashi, is that you're chai not only for borer, but add to it, not only for, excuse me, rakid, but add to it also moleches borer. However, Rabbi Zeir identifies this molocha exclusively as moleches merakid, and he rejects borer. That's Rashi. Rabbeinu Chananel, on the other hand, learns that there's an extreme machlokas. According to Rav Zera, this, as we saw in Rashi as well, this Meshamer is Moleches Merakid. Whereas according to Rabba, this Meshamer is Moleches Borer exclusively. And it's not that Rabbi Zera held one Molecha and Rabba added another Molecha to boot, and Rabba wanted to add the Moleches Borer, but rather Rabba holds, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that this is Borer, and that's all it is. It's only Borer. So what we want to do now is try to explain, if we can, the machlokas between Rabba and Rabbi Zera. And the truth is that this question that I want to ask is really relevant to both Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, but I think it's particularly relevant to the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, and that is we really don't understand what is the difference between Borer and Meraki, meaning we don't know what definition Rabba is operating with, what definition Rabbi Zera is operating with. And if Rabba finds some sort of similarity here in the case of Meshamer to Meleches Borer, then we should ask Rabba the question, well, okay, so you found the similarity, but nevertheless the Torah has a Melecha called Meleches Merakid. The Gemara itself, back on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, is perplexed. Hainu The Gemara says on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, Hainu Zoreh, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merakid. The similarity is striking. Why do you bother separating them? Apparently, whatever difference there is between them, that difference is enough to justify a malacha and another malacha, one malacha and a separate malacha. And that's what Abai Verava say, Amar Chavayu, Kol Milsa Dahavi B'Mishkan, if there were these two activities that were implemented in the Mishkan, Afal Gav did Damule, even though they're very similar, but they're still, in the Mishkan at least, there's still two separate pu'ulos, and therefore Chashivle. It gives it a certain chashivus, and that's going to justify why it is a separate malach. So the malach of merakid, let's assume for the time being that the malach of merakid means that you don't take ochel mitoch psolus or psolus mitoch ochel. What you do is you pour it into a sieve. Let's just, again, we'll both say this is highly doubtful what I'm telling you. It's begetter dok for tishkan. I'm only saying it in order that we can somehow make some progress in this sugya. So if in the Mishkan what they did was they separated ochel mitoch psolus by pouring it into a sieve, and the holes were small enough so that the sediments would remain behind and the liquid would fall through, and that's how they accomplished their goal, so that sets up a malacha of merakid, and it was done in the Mishkan. The Gemara says, according to Abai Verava, that if it was done in the Mishkan, that gives it a certain chashivus, and it sets itself up as a separate malacha. Now comes along Rabba on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, no, you pour the wine into a sieve, into a mishameres, you separated the sediments from the wine, and you chayev mishum leches borer. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, it means that Rabba defines this as Meleches Borer exclusively. It's not Meleches Merakid. So we're going to have to find some sort of answer to this question as to why Merakid, in general, when you use a sieve and you sift something, let's say for example you pour flour into a sifter and you sift out the flour, what you're left with is flour without pebbles, and the pebbles stay on top, and that's called Meleches Merakid. So there is a difference between Merakid and Borer. And for some reason, Rabba is unwilling to apply that principle here in the case of Mishameres. And the only clue that Rabba gives us to explain why this should be Borer and not Mishamer, why isn't this classical case of Mishamer? And he answers because in this case, he takes the wine and leaves behind him the sediments. Well, that's exactly what merakid is all about. You know, you want to get the kemach and leave behind you the pebbles or whatever is mixed into the chaff, whatever is in there, the psoles. Ella, what you're doing in a way that it's a pu'ula of merakid. So why isn't mishamer a pu'ula of merakid? Rabba, I just want to, again, only Rabbi Osai, all I'm trying to do is, there's a principle called misery loves company. I'm just trying to make you as miserable as I am, because I want you to identify with my problem. The Gemara doesn't really clarify exactly why, according to Rabba, this case of Mishamer does not fit into the classical definition of Meraki. Now, if you'll tell me, well, you know, it's true. This is the way Rashi would interpret Rabbi. It's true. This is a Merakid case. But at the same time, there are certain elements here of Borer, and therefore you chayv both Mishum Merakid and Borer. I'm not happy about that either, but at least it's a little bit better than Rabbeinu Chananel, because Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that by virtue of the fact that there's a certain similarity here in Mishamer to Borer, therefore it becomes Borer. It's ice kapelush macha. You know, it's no longer a Meleches Merakid. Admittedly, this is merakid. I mean, Reb Zera says it's merakid, and Reb Zera's point is that since it's a case of merakid, you have no right to strip it of its identity as merakid and classify it as borer. Meaning, even if Rabba has shown us and demonstrated that there is some sort of similarity here between the case of Mishameris and the case of borer, And that is as far as notel ochel bediach psolis. He's going to leave the sediments out and take the wine because he wants wine without sediments. That says Rav Zeira is not a reason to take it out of the category of merakid, because every merakid is similar to borer. The Gemara itself says that every merakid is similar to borer. The purpose of merakid is identical to the purpose of borer. We want to separate ochel mitoch psolis and psolis mitoch ochel. Get rid of what you don't want and take what you do want. Ella, what they did in a certain surah, in a certain pa'ula in the Mishkan, that upgrades it to a status of a melacha unto itself. And if that be the case, Rav Zeira says to Rabba, let's admit that this is merakid. Somehow we're going to have to explain in the very few words, you know, Rabba is kind of short-winded here, and in the very few words that Rabba gives us is a clue to why. To why this becomes so similar to borer that we strip it of its status as merake, that we classify it as borer. Why should we do such a thing? Rashi is a little bit better, because at least according to Rashi, Rava admits to Rav Zeira that we have a case of what? Of merake. Rava's not denying that this is merake according to Rashi. Rava is pointing out there's a certain overlap here in which not only is this Mishameres a merakid, but it's also in its method, it's somewhat similar or very similar to borer, and therefore we're going to add borer to boot. But again, I'm still not happy about that, because you haven't yet defined what makes it into merakid and what makes it into similar to borer, such that I can now add meleches borer to it. And It comes out paradoxically that according to Rava, in Merakid we have, in Mishameres at least, we have the case of being chayv for two different malachas. Obviously, he's not going to go ahead and say that every single case of Merakid is chayv mishum borer, so we have to know what's Merakid according to Rava. What's Merakid that's exclusively Merakid, and what's borer that exclusively borer, and when do we have a certain similarity in merakid to borer such that we can say that in addition to being merakid, it's also borer. But my point only is that from the sugya back in Klal Gadol, we see that merakid sets itself up with its own personality because of the way you do this. And Rabba seems to agree that you, in the case of Mishameres, you're doing it the way that Merakid is done. He's not denying that you're Chayav Mishum Merakid. And now he's saying, but in the case of Mishameres, although it's Merakid, there's a certain element that separates it from Merakid, in a sense. You follow what I mean by separating? In other words, that justifies its status as Borer. And therefore he's Chayav also Mishum Borer, not denying that it's Merakid. And according to Rebbeinu Chananel, we have to go even further. And we have to say that, according to Rabbi Sheet at least, this is so boredic that it ceases to be merakid. So what's the machlokas? I mean, Rabbi Zeira says it is merakid. So that's where we were holding last time. So what I want to show you today is that the Birur Halacha of the Mishnah Brura, he tackles this question. And we're going to read it inside and try to see if we can figure it out. Now, what else did I have before we got to the Bir Halacha? What else did I have for you on the Mar Makomos? Was that more or less what we have? Does anybody have the Mar Makomos page? I seem to have temporarily misplaced my Mar Makomos page. Yeah. What do we have here? Ayin Shulchan Aruch, okay, that's the Bir Halacha. Oh, Tzadiheim et Al. Okay, this is a sugya called Mechabetz. And the Gemara says explicitly that Mechabetz is Chayav Mishum Borer. Rashi offers two. Hey, I want to give this back or put it somewhere where we can find it later. And Rashi offers two interpretations of what Mechabetz is. It has something to do with converting, with making cheese from milk. And let me just see if I can find the... Yeah, I have it here. So what do we have over here? So the Gemara says, Adaf Tzadi Hei, Omer Aleph, It's about, I would say, 15 lines down from the top of the page, and the Gemara says that Mechabetz is Chayav Mishum Borer. So what's Mechabetz? Rashi offers two interpretations. Rashi says that Mechabetz is Maimid HaCholov Bekeva. So there's the intestines of the animal that has a certain chemical substance to it. I think it's called rennet. And what they do is they pour the milk, and the rennet causes the milk to curdle. Now, Rashi at this point does not clearly illustrate exactly why Mamid Cholav Bekeva is Borer. It would seem that the chemical enters into the milk and then causes some sort of process by which it becomes cheese. I don't know that, you know, I'm not saying that it's not a creative act, but why is that called Borer? But then Rashi says Valid Nira, and apparently he prefers the second pshat. And he says that Mechabetz is Osek Kemin Kli, they used to make a certain utensil, Gumi, apparently Rashi's telling us it was made of some sort of rubber substance. Again, there are different yersos in Rashi. And he says, Nosein HaKofui B'tocho, he says that it begins to coagulate, I suppose, and he pours it into this kli, and then the Mei Cholov, somehow they settle to the bottom of the kli in such a way that he has the Nisyuve, the cheese part, he's able to separate from the liquid. Now that at least answers the question as to why there's Borer here. I'm not exactly sure why it's not Merake, but again, you know, maybe I'll be smarter as we go along. Right now, Rashi at least offers a second shot that he's Chayav Mishum Borer because he's using this kli to separate the liquids from the cheese itself. By the way, I saw Rav Felda has a whole article here about Mechabetz. I didn't have a chance. I just saw it, Mamish, a few seconds ago. Did we ever photocopy this for the Olam? I don't think we did. So if you can make a note of it, it's on page 373 on the bottom, and it goes on to page Shin Ayin Dalet. So maybe we'll have a chance to go through Rafelda. I didn't get that chance yet. Okay, let me just see for a minute where we're holding. Okay, fine. So that we discussed. So Rabosai, let's suggest a pshat here. We'll see if we can fit this into the Bir Halacha. What is the difference between Borer and Meraki? It seems that in the case of Borer, the object, the Chefta, is one. In the case of Merake, the Chefta is two. Let me explain. In the case of Borer, you're taking either Ochel from Psoles or Psoles from Ochel. In either case, you're taking one thing from the other. In the case of Merake, here what you're doing is, you're not taking Ochel from Psoles or the reverse, but rather, you're doing an action on both of them. So when you put this into we'll call it a kvara or a napa. The Gemara has different names for the various sieves that they used. One was small holes and they used it for kemah, the other was large holes, they used it for soup and things of the like. So what you do is you shake it up in such a way that now it separates. Now again, I'm not sure if it's critical that the psolus remains on top, we'll see this in Reb Zeira in a minute, and the ochel goes on the bottom. I mean, I could imagine possibly a situation where it goes the reverse, and maybe the ochel remains on top and the psolus goes on the bottom. Or maybe you could even imagine, I don't know if we have such a kli, if anyone could think of in modern technology, if we have such a thing where it works even horizontally. I mean, to say vertically. If it could work vertically, you know, where you could somehow, you know, end up with the psolus on the left and the ochel on the right. I don't know if there is such a kli. But l'chor, it shouldn't matter in any event. The point is that you're taking this massive object, this unit, this food stuff that has a combination of both ochel and psolus, and you're separating the two. How do you separate the two? Because you have you have some sort of a utensil that because of its small holes, it's able to separate the two. So it's not that you're taking ochel from solus or the reverse, but rather that you're being mafrid, this afrada of these of one from the other, and basically your malach is being done on both. And that situation where you do a maisa on both of them, both on the ochel and the psolus, that hafrada is called merakeh. I'm going to try to read this into the Gemara in just a minute, but let's just get it first in abstract terms. Oh, let's take the case of mishameres. What bothers Reb Zera? Let's see. How should I start this? Just give me a minute. Do I want to start with Reb Zera or with Rabba? Just one second. Again, there are two ways of saying this, so I don't know where I'm going with this. So I can either say it that way or that way. Whether I start with Reb Zera or I start with Rabba, I think I'll end up in the same place anyway. What I mean to say is the following. From Reb Zera's perspective, you're taking this wine, pouring it into a mishameres, and the mishameres is operating on both the sediments and the wine to separate the two. That's called hafrada, and Reb Zera sees no reason to compel any change over here and remove it from Meleches Merakid. This, from Reb Zera's perspective, is a classical case of Merakid. Comes along Rava and he says no. In Mishameres, he's not really doing an action on both to separate one from the other. What he's really doing is he's removing the psolus from the ochel. In other words, the yayin is unaffected. It's just coming through because it's a liquid. It's coming through the Mishameres. And that's it. It just passes through, so to speak. If there's any action that he's doing an action to hold back the shmarim. So that Rabba comes up, and again we'll have to see this according to Rashi and then according to Rabbeinu Hananel. But first I want to get it bigadol, you know, sort of in a broad sense. What Rabbi is saying here is that there's a remarkable similarity here between Mishameres and Borer, in the sense that in classical Merakid, we have to work very hard to separate the two. In Mishameres, what we're doing is we're not working hard to separate the two. What we're working hard to do is to hold back the sediments. And holding back the sediments, says Rabba, is Meleches Borer. Let's see if I can read this into the Gemara. The Gemara says, why does Rabba hold Lididi? I lost the place for a second, just hold on. Of course I lost the place because I'm on the wrong page. Okay, Lididi, he says, Kavase Mistabra, why? Because why does this classical Borer? Because here also, what he's doing is he's taking one and leaving the other. Now, Rabosai, when at this point in my life, again, maybe I'll change my mind because I'm very fluid here, but at this point in my mind, I don't think it matters now whether he takes the ochel and leaves the psolus behind, or he takes the psolus and he leaves the ochel behind. Although, in the sugya of Borer, back on Daf Ayin Dalet, the Gemara did seem to assume that there's a derech Borer that's absolute if he takes the psolus from the ochel. But that's not relevant to us now. What's relevant to us now is that there's a notel umeniach. And that to Rava is a stark and absolute, profound personality change from Meraki to Borer. Notice we're going to identify this as Borer because of the elements of Notel Umeniach. What Notel Umeniach means is that you're doing the Maisa on one of them. you're taking the wine and leaving the psolus, or taking the psolus and leaving that the wine, whatever it is, but you're taking one of them. And Rabbah holds that if you're doing the melech on one of them, then that's considered meleches borer. Now, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's exclusively meleches borer. Why? Because according to Rabbeinu Chananel, what Rabbah's pointing out is that this is not similar to Merakid. In Merakid, what we're doing is we're separating, we're breaking the two. We're working very hard and putting in a lot of effort to separate the two. That's not so in the case of Mishameres. In Mishameres, we're not working hard to separate the two. We're just taking one from the other. Rabosu, do you see how subtle the difference is? I mean, again, the Gemara itself is bothered by this. Hainu Merakid, Hainu Borer. So I'm not in bad company. All I have to do is get to first base over here, and then hopefully the floodgates are open. And my first base for this, Yonatan, do you feel my pain over here? I need, you know, this is not simple. You know, most of the Melech HaShabbos, you know, you can more or less see it, but here the Gemara itself doesn't see it. Hainu Borer, Hainu Merakid. And the Gemara's answer, well, they were two different actions in the Mishkan, and therefore the Cheshivas, and therefore the two different Melechas. So I'm just trying to identify conceptually what are these two actions. You know, so first I thought maybe Rav is saying that Borer is Biyad and Merakid is Bekli, but that's not so because Mishameris is Bekli. So I'm not going to be able to say that Rav's argument against Rav Zeir is because he's using his hands and not a Kli. He is using a Kli. So that possibility is rejected outright. But there are two ways of using a Kli. One way of using a Kli, imagine if I had Oakland Psalms and I took a knife or some sort of a utensil, and I started separating the psolus from the oven. So that knife becomes the extension of my arm, so to speak. So that's called borer, correct? Borer, I'm taking the psolus from the ochel, or the ochel from the psolus. So there's only one object that I'm actually touching, so to speak, that I'm working on. That's melechas borer. So that's called notel umeniach. I take one of the two, whether it's ochel or psolus, and the other one, mania. The other one is Mimela is there, because if I took one out from the other one is pure and unadulterated. It's free of that solus. That's called Meleches Borer. Says Rabbah, this can't be Meleches Merakid. No way, no how. Again, this is according to Rabbeinu Chananel. Why? Because Merakid essentially means that I'm not just taking one from the other, but I'm separating the two. And my action is equally done to both the ochel and the psolus. That's what happens in the classical case of Merakid. So for example, you remember that in Meleches Zoreh, he has to throw up the kernels into the air and the wind separates it. So imagine if I view the wind as my arm, as an extension of my mice. So then what I'm doing is I'm really working very hard to separate the chaff from the kernel. You follow what I mean? And that act of separation is called Merakid. Again, it's not going to be Merakid, it's going to be Zoreh. Why is it going to be Zoreh? Because I'm using the wind. But if I wasn't using the wind, but rather I was using a Kli, and I give this Kli a real, you know, a real shake-up in such a way that the Kli, like in the case of the wind, is able to be mafrid, the ochel from the psolus, that's called meleches merakid. Comes along Rav Zeira, and he says, you know what? In a sense, I hear your point, Rabbah, because the wine is just, you know, just flowing down the wine is just, how should I say, dripping through the mishameres, that's true. But Rav Zeira says, Kavasi didi mistabra. Why? Because even though you could say that he's just taking the wine, leaving out the psolus, but at the same time, this is classical Merakid. Why? Because what happens in Merakid? Let's say I take flour and it's unsifted. It means it still has, what word do we want to use?
Coarse,
something coarse inside of it, some sort of pebbles or whatever it might be. Right? Have you ever checked rice, for example? You'll always find that there are different little black pieces in there, and you want to get rid of them. The Sfaradim, some Sfaradim have to get rid of the chametz because there may be kernels of grain in there mixed in with the rice. So you got to get rid of all that. So that's called classical Meraki, says Reb Zeira. What happens when you use a kli that looks like this, and you pour something inside of it, and something comes to the bottom? What happens is that the psalus gets stuck, gets caught on the top, and the ochel, the part that you want, comes out on the bottom. That's what he says, Reb Zeira. And therefore, darko shel merakeid psalus milabala, the ochel le mata. Af hocha, here too, in the case of Mishameres. Okay, I admit that, you know, he didn't have to do something so aggressive, you know, it was a liquid substance, so it you know, it very quickly goes right through, but nevertheless, it's also considered psolis lamala and ochel lamata. The sediments remain on top, and that which you want, the ochel, the wine, is on the bottom. That makes it into merakid. Why then should you disturb... You know, why wake up a dead horse? This is Merakid. This is what the Mishkan... This is what was done in the Mishkan. Comes along Rab and he says, wait a minute. This is not Merakid. Why? Because Merakid means that you work hard to create a barrier that separates A from B, Psolus from O. What you do through your malach is kind of like the barrier. You know, that you're going to do the separation between the two. It's not that you're taking one from the other, you're separating the two. Here, this is not separating the two. You're just removing the psoles from the ochel. The ochel is going down. So really, you're taking the wine and leaving something behind. If you're taking the wine and leaving something behind, that's like my case before where I had the knife, and with the knife I push away the psoles, and what I'm left with is ochel. That's classical Borei. Oh, so that's what we could possibly say according to Rabbeinu Chanan. Okay. So Rashi holds that according to Rabbah, we can add Meleches Borer to Meleches Merakid. And he's chayav for both. In other words, according to Rashi, he is actually, even in Rabbah's frame of reference, doing a Maisa to both of them. Because that's what the Mishameres does, right? But at the same time, according to Rashi, he's taking the wine for himself, so to speak, and leaving the psoles on top. If he does that, that's called meleches borer. I wanted to suggest the following. We said that Borer could be chayav even with yad, meaning without a kli. Merakid, interesting enough, by definition, is only with a kli. And that's called a nafa and a chvara. And if you have a sifter, right, is that a word? Is there a word in English called a sifter? Anyway, that's how we called it. A sieve, like Charlie called a sieve. We had a professor sieve, you know. He's not alive. Ziv. I mean, all I knew is that you got a C in the course. That's what I remember. He was a very tough marker. His grandson was a student of mine, in Vasera, the great guy. But anyway, so getting back to this, I'll call it a sifter, and whenever I say sifter, you call it a sieve. Okay, fine. So when you're using this kli, that's called meleches merakid. Meleches merakid. If that be the case, then Rashi holds that even if, from Rabbah's perspective, I can create a very profound similarity in the case of Mishameres with what? With Borer, nevertheless, by definition, Rabbah cannot reject and deny Rav Zeira that this is merakid, because since he's using the kli, which is called the Mishameres, that itself makes it into what? Into Meleches Merakid.
Sammy? You can have a borer with a kli as well.
You could have borer with a kli, but the borer with a kli is the same as borer biyat. That's not true in the case of Merakid. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, in the case of Merakid, the Melacha is inherent in the use of the kli. The use of the kli becomes part of the very definition, the guf hamalacha. In the case of borer, you could use a kli and accomplish the same thing, but that's not the guf maleches borer. That doesn't define the essence of borer, because borer could be biyad as well, and yechai for borer.
Difference, degree without a difference. It's the same problem.
No, what I'm pointing out is that once he uses a kli, Rabba, according to Rashi's pshat, has to admit that this is Meleches Merakit. The kli itself that accomplishes Borer makes it into Merakit. Rabba wants to add a Meleches Borer, because if he uses the kli to separate Ochel from Solus, the separation of Ochel from Solus itself is Borer, and then I could view the kli as nothing more than a vehicle. You know, it's a secondary facilitator, if you can use that term, in order to set up the borer. So again, on the one hand, Rabba has to admit to Rav Zera that if you accomplish separating Ochel from Solus with a kli, and it's a special kli that's dedicated for that purpose, that's Meleches Merakit. On the other hand, Rabba wants to say that since what you're using in this particular case of Mishameris is you're using the kli to accomplish borer, i.e. to separate the wine and take the wine and leave out the sediments, then you chayav mishum borer as well. That's what I think maybe Rashi is learning. Comes along Rav Zera and he says, wait a minute, if you, Rabba, agree that once you're using a kli for that borer, it is Meleches Merakid, then he should be chayv exclusively for Meleches Merakid. Because that's what identifies the unique status of Merakid, that you're using this Kli Amiyucha Lekach. Sammy?
What was the Pula in the Mishkan that was specifically Merakid?
I think what they did was that for the Lechem Aponim, I mean, I'm getting into issues here about how you define Meleches HaMishkan, but let's say according to the Igle Tal, you know what I'm talking about? That all of Afia we derive from Lechem Aponim. So when they prepared the Lechem Aponim, they would take the kernels of grain, and after they would crush them, the Gemara is going to ask why crushing is not a malach. That's called Ketisha, but we didn't get to that Gemara yet, thank God. Okay, so the Gemara, so after they crushed it, now they put it through a sieve in order to separate certain sediments or pebbles or coarse stuff from the kemach, and they would get very good, what's called soles nikia, you know, very good fine flour as a result of using this sieve. And that's called Meleches Merakid. Now, on the one hand, you can emphasize in Meleches Merakid the fact that we're separating the two. On the other hand, you could emphasize the fact that you're using a certain kli, that's Miyuchad Lekach. We'll call it a nafa or kvara. So here's where the machlokas Rabbi and Rav Zera sets in. Rabbi Zera says, I'm not interested in whether you're taking ochel from solus or psochos or ochel. That's common to both Merakid and Borer. In both cases, you're separating ochel and psolus. So I don't care which one you take and which one you don't take. What I care about, says Rabbi Zera, is that in the case of Merakid, if you use a kli that's miyuchad lekach, and that sieve is meant to separate the psolus from the ochel, that makes it by definition meleches Merakid.
You say miyuchad lekach, I mean to any specific
food stuff or whatever.
That it's not used.
There are many different kelim, you know, but each kli is miyuchad for that purpose of that food stuff, you know.
That's when it's Merakid. If I use it for something else.
So that, I don't know. That might be a shinui, or maybe that would make it into borer. I don't know. That's an interesting question, Sam. But I'm not. You know, you're already way beyond me. I'm on the basics here. I'm trying to understand what is the definition of Meleches Merakid according to Rabbi Zera. And what I'm suggesting is that Rabbi Zera went very far here in his argument against his rejection of Rabba. He went so far as to say that Rabba's turmoil here and his concern is totally irrelevant. It has nothing to do with defining the difference between Merakid and Borer. All this emphasis that Rabba puts on the fact whether it's two heftas or one heftas, are you separating two things or are you taking one from the other, all that doesn't register at all on the radar screen of Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera just wants to know, how did you accomplish this separation of Ochel and Psolus? That's all he wants to know. And in the Mishkan, what they did was they used a nafa and a chvara, each one for its own purpose. Right, the napa was used for flour because you had to get it very fine, so the holes were very small. The kavra were used in the Mishkan for other kinds of stuff where you needed less, you know, you didn't need those small holes, but you could have larger holes, right? The kavim gedolim, and that's a kli, and that makes it into meleches merak. It comes along, comes along Rabba, and he says the following. That I'm not willing to accept that the very essential definition of Merakit is Kli, and that's what separates and differentiates Merakit from Borer. I think that the difference between Merakit and Borer is whether or not you are... Just one second. One second. If we're introducing Rashi, then there's an important Rashi here that maybe we missed up on. Where is the Rashi? Now I don't find it. One second. Just give me a minute here. So Rashi, take a look. This is a very important Rashi. Rashi is on the Mishnah of the Malachas, Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph. On the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, you have it? Okay, good. And Rashi says, Haborer, Soles Biyadov. Look at that.
Borer, that's Borer.
No, that's not my point. My point is that Rashi's trying to set up a contrast here between Borer and Merakit. And he's not getting into this whole question about whether there's one heftz or two heftzes. He's only emphasizing that what separates Borer as a unique personality? It's biyadov. And what's Merakid? Benafa. And the Gemara is going to ask, but in any event, in both cases, whether you use it by hand or you use it with a nafa, you're accomplishing the identical goal. So it should be one malach. Again, I don't know, maybe you could ask if one's an av and one's a tol. I'm not ready for that yet, but I don't, the Gemara doesn't see the difference between the two. So you could accomplish the same exact thing with your hand in certain cases. Let's say in dry goods, right, you can separate it by hand. And in liquids, you know, it just won't go. Or even in kemach, you know, if you want to get it very, very thin, it's almost like a mashke. You won't be able to accomplish your goal in any sort of sophisticated way with your hands. You need a kli. So the Gemara thinks that therefore, if they're both the same, it's just a different maisa, then one should be an av and one should be a tolda perhaps, but they shouldn't be separated as two different malachas. So the Gemara says that since it was done in the Mishkan like that, it's two different malachas. But again, Rashi seems to give you the impression in his Pirush al Mishnah that the difference between Borer and Merakit is that Borer is Biyad and Merakit is Bekli. If that be the case, then maybe Rashi is saying that the Etzem Guf Moleches Borer is Biyad. Again, Sammy is yelling and screaming, but you could accomplish Borer Bekli as well. But again, what you're accomplishing with a Kli is really Biyad. In other words, you're not using a Kli that's Miyuchad Lekach, that's Mukhan Lekach, as opposed to Merakid, we're using a kli that's mukhan lakach. So in the case of wine, this is Rav Zera's way of thinking, obviously I'm dealing with Meleches Merakid, because the way to separate sediments from wine is to use a Meshameres. That's what a Meshameres is all about. That's its purpose on this earth. And that's the kli amyuchad lakach. Now, so if you go like whom? If you go like Rashi's pshat, Rashi on Kufla Meches, that Rabba is now adding another malacha. So Rashi is going to be saying that according to Rabba, the kli itself doesn't define the goof etzem malacha. Do you follow my point? Because again, if you're going to say like Rashi, in other words, again, this is a little bit paradoxical, but it. Just the Saber Ta'ozen, if we assume that Rashi on the Mishnah is presenting Rav Zera's perspective. Again, we're going to have to figure out, you know, Rabba's perspective. But from Rav Zera's perspective, the definition of the goof Meleches Borer, as opposed to Meleches Merakit is that Merakit's bor is biyad and Melechas Merakit is benafa, then Rav Zeira is telling you that Meshameris is exactly the same as a nafa. And therefore, what Malach are we ending up with?
Merakit.
Comes along Rabbah, and again, I'm hard pressed to fill, you know, to fit this into Rashi on the Mishnah in Kal Gadol. But Rabbah would say no. The kli itself is not the guf hamalach, and certainly according to Rav Chananel, you have to grant me that the kli itself is not the guf hamalach. Because if the kli defines merakid as a separate malacha, then we don't begin to understand Rabbah, because mishameris is a kli. It's not a yad. It's a kli amiyuchad l'kach. I mean, it's something that you can't accomplish without a kli.
So,
how are you going to find the sediments? So if in the Mishkan, my classical pattern, my paradigm of Meleches Merakit is a kli, and Meleches Bor is biyad, as I state in Rashi, then clearly Mishameris is something which is exactly identical to Merakit. And we're hard-pressed to understand Rabbah, so I'm going to suggest that perhaps, according to Rabbah, let's say, in Rabbi Chananel's perspective, I would not define the malacha by the use of the kli. The use of the kli is not guf hamalacha. If it's guf hamalacha, that defines the essence of the malacha, we're in trouble with Rabbah. How could Rabbah have the audacity, so to speak, of classifying Mishamer as Meleches Borer? It's a kli, so we're going to have to say no. That if you read Rabbah's logic carefully, Rabbah is trying to find out a different kishkis, a different essence of Meleches Borer, in which he's notel esha ochel, meiniach sapsoles, or the other way around. Well, what does it say in the Gemara? Just that I... what does it say? Notel esha ochel, it says? You write on Kuflam and Ches, and just to get the language of the Gemara, yeah, notel ochel miniach psoles. Notel, so he, Rashi would have to say that according to Rabbah, I'm sorry, let's start with Rabbeinu Chananel. So Rabbeinu Chananel would have to say that according to Rabbah, what defines the personality, the guf hamalacha of Borer is notel esa ochel. And Rabbah insists that in Mishameres, it's notel esa. No tell us a ocha. And Rav Zeira says, you know what? That's not really true. What you're doing is you're separating between the yayin and the Now let me see if I can fit this in to the Mishnah Berurah. Here's the language of the Mishnah Berurah. He says the following: Taimi de Rabba. The Lodomi Lemarakid is on page 282 if you happen to have the classical printing. The Marakid Ose Kolzman Harkadoso Peula Bipsoles Vi Ochel Biyachat. A certain similarity to what we said before, but the Mishnah Berurah adds, I think, another element into the equation here. And I have a suspicion. Again, also Lefarsim, but I have a suspicion here that the Mishnah Berurah is trying to understand what the word Merakid means etymologically. Really, what does it mean? I mean, until now, all we know is Rashi says in the Mishnah uses a napa, so that makes it Merakid. What is Merakid? Merakid means shaking something, right? If you ever dance with the Sefer Torah, you know, you go up and down with the Sefer Torah. We don't believe in mixed dancing, of course, so I can't give you a different kind of marshal of it. But I gave you the holy example of the Sefer Torah, right? So that's a good example. So Rashi says, Merakid requires some sort of movement. And Rashi says, what are you moving? You're moving the kli, right? And by moving the kli, he says, he's doing an action in both the psolus and the ochel. Shemananea hakvara v'ayidei zeh nivar min michavera. So Rashi says that what's Rashi, I should say the Mishnah Berurah says that what's Meleches Merakeid? What he means, you're dancing with the Kli. What you're doing is you're doing a Pu'ula with the Kli, shaking it up, he calls him an Anea, and as a result is Nivrar Min Echad Bichaver. Masha Einkein Bazeh, not in the case of Mishameres, is he dancing with the Mishameres? Not really. He's pouring wine into the Mishameres. He's not being Menaneh in the Mishameres. And therefore he says, B'eis HaBirur, at the moment that you separate the wine from the sediments, Eino Nasa Pu'ula Klal Be'Hashmarim. Okay, now he goes back to his... You know, somehow he's integrating two different concepts. I don't know. Again, in pedagogy, I would not put this as an A+. I mean, I would have written it a little differently. I would have said the following: Sheva Esa Berur Eino Osa Puula Klal Behamishameres, not Bashmarim. Okay, Behamishameres. Why? Because what happens is he basically pours the wine into the Mishameres, and the wine goes through the holes and ends up at the bottom. Did he have to shake the Mishameres? No, there's no shake and bake over here. There's no Merakid. This is purely Borer. And that's the sheet of Rabba. He doesn't seem to be sensitive to the difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, as far as I can tell. And he says, Hayayin Zov Mehem. I would have written it differently. Hayayin Zov Me'alehem. That's how I would have written it. Al-Kain Dami Yosel Leborer. He's clearly learning like Rabbeinu Chananel at this point, that Rabba is classifying Mishameres as Borer. Shenotel Esa Ochel V'Apsoles Nishar Munach Bimkomo. Ah, now he's saying the other Svara. That's why you can't change the text here. You see, I'm a big shot. You know, I'm rewriting the text, but you can't do that. I'll tell you why you can't do that. Not because of chutzpah, that's also true, but you can't do it for a different reason. And that is because clearly he comes back to the original svara that he's not doing, in this case, an action on both of them. And again, I'll read that line that I wasn't so happy about. Now it makes more sense. He says, "The eno." I don't know why he says nasa eno osa eno nasa puula klal behashmarim. So he's really taking the wine. That's what we were medayik from the language of Rava, and therefore it's domel bore. Why? Just one second. Because in the case of what do you call it, of Merakid, he says that Ose Pu'ula Bipsoles V'Ochel B'Yachat.
Isn't it sound like he's not saying that you have to do the Pu'ula in the Kli, you have to do the Pu'ula in the Ochel? So in Lu Yitzur you could take your hands and hold the Tzolos Ochel together and shake it in such a way you would separate it, you'd be Chayef Merakid, even though there's no Kli whatsoever. That's what it sounds like.
Right, so again, he's not impressed with the Rashi back on Daf Ayin Gimel that the emphasis of Merakid is Kli. And that I'll grant you. But what is the emphasis? What defines Merakid as a separate personality? And the answer is that the Guf HaMalacha, he says, is Sha'ose Harkada B'Psoles V'Ochel B'Yachad. That's the key of the keys here. Ochel U'Psoles V'Yachad. And that's where Rabba objects and rejects. Rabbi Zeri says, you cannot classify Mishameres as Merakid. Why not? Because you're not doing an action which is separating both, which means that you're doing an action of both Psoles and Ochel B'Yachad. No. Here, he's not doing anything in the Shmarim. What is he doing? He's doing something with the Yayin. V'Psoles Nishar Munach B'Mkomo. Now, Rabosai, that's a Pella. How can the Mishnah Berurah say that? Hapsoles nishar b'mkoma. Every case of Merakid is hapsoles nishar b'mkoma. Ribbono shel Olam. It's always hapsoles nishar b'mkoma. You try sifting flour. I can promise you that the psoles is nishar b'mkoma. No less than in the case of wine. See, he's like combining two different things. He says that why is it darko shel borer? Because apsolus nishar b'mkomo v'eino oseh. V'eino osa pe'ula b'shvarim klal, because the shvarim is nishar bimkomo, shenimunachim bimkomo, and therefore what is he doing? He's no telas ochel. He's only doing a pe'ula on the ochel. And that was our original svara. But the problem with that svara, and I think maybe he's sensitive to it, is the fact that every classical case of Merakid is Hapsolus Nishar B'mkomo. You can always say he's only doing a pula on the Ochel. Ella what? The answer is that in the case of, now I go back to the other words of the Bir Halacha, that in the case of Merakid, he's Menanea Sakvei, which means that he needs to do an action of Ninua HaKavra. And if it's Ninua HaKavra, that's a whole different Halacha. Nidua kavra means I'm dancing with this kavra, I'm shaking it up in order to separate one from the other. And that in a sense is the kishkis of meleches meshamer. Meleches merakin. Do you see, Rav Hosei, what I'm trying to pull off over here? I'm trying to say A plus B. I'm not willing to go all black or all white here. I have to get a combination of the two. How do you achieve the following two goals? Number one, you're going to tell me that Merakid is Oseh Maisa B'Shneem, whereas Borer is only Oseh Maisa B'Echad Mehem, V'Apsolos Nishar B'Mkomo, and at the same time justify that this Mishameres case is different than all the other Merakid cases. How do I accomplish both goals at the same time?
I think it's pretty simple.
Okay, Alan, whatever you think is simple, continue thinking it's simple. I don't think it's simple. So since I'm saying the Shia, I'm going to tell you what I think, and then you'll go out of here, and you'll say your own Shia, and everyone's invited to come. But let me again, Rabosai, let me try to do what I have to do, Alan.
Okay,
we're good friends, and you got to let me go. What I'm trying to say is the following. According to the Mishnah Brura, he says the following, that the difference between Merakid and Borer is that in the case of Merakid, his pa'ul is on both of them. He's biyachad, separating both the ochel and the psolus, one from the other. As opposed to Borer, where in Borer, the psolus remains b'mkomo, and he's only doing a pa'ul on the ochel. So I ask myself the following question. That's wonderful. But that's not going to justify Rav Shita, because Rav at some point has to explain to me why his similarity to Borer, which according to Rashi, by the way, makes it Borer exclusively, isn't applicable to every single case of Merakid. What's the classical Merakid that was done in the Mishkan? The Psolus remained on top, and the Olcha went on the bottom. So why not say in every single case of Merakid, I'm doing a pu'ula on the Ochel, the Tilos Ochel, and I'm leaving the psolus behind? What makes Manishtana Mishameres Mikol Shar Pu'ulos Merakid? And here's where I introduce another variable into the equation, which I find in the words of the Heliga Mishnah Brura. And what does he say? He says that I'll prove to you, so to speak, I'll demonstrate to you why every classical Merakid is a Maisa HaNaseh B'Shneem, both on the Ochel and Psolus. And what's his answer? Shemenanea HaKavra. It's not that he pours something and it just goes through the holes. That's not your classical Merakid. Merakid, literally Kipshuto, what does the word Merakid mean? Linanea. You've got to dance with it. You've got to shake it. Shake it up. And when you shake it up, that's when you accomplish the separation from the two. As opposed to the case of Mishameres, that's Rabba's business. Rabba says, this is Darko Shel Borer. You're not shaking anything. You're just pouring the wine and taking the wine. You really haven't changed anything. What you've done is, you've gotten your wine pure, unadulterated, without any sediments mixed in. The sediments remain on top. Now that's true always in every case of Merakid, but in every other case of Merakid, you have to do a pu'ula to separate the two. Here you don't have to do anything to separate the two. The wine just goes automatically through the holes. Alright, Al, now we're ready for your shot.
First let me just ask you a question, and then I'll get on to it.
Yeah.
If that's the case, the whole thing is because now you've set in motion something, you're doing something to there. Why isn't it that Zorea?
Zorea with an ayin or Zorea with a hey?
Zorea.
Oh, Zorah with a hey.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because once you said with an ayin, I'm in trouble. Because we had a lot of trouble with Zorah, you know, Hashrasha.
That would be a huge fetish. But why isn't it?
Again, I don't know exactly what you have in mind now, but just let me say something up front. Zoreh means to utilize the power of wind. So if you utilize the power of wind, then you're in the ballpark of Zoreh.
Is it just that, or is it just using something else?
Just that. Any case of Zoreh is always going to be what we call Koach Achim Uruk.
Because I would use the sifter, saying the sifter is the same as the wind.
No, I don't want to get into that. That's going to just derail you. You know,
no, I don't want
to. Alan, I'm telling you, if you go with that mahalach, you'll get us even more in trouble. Right. We're enough in the plot to ask this. We're deep in mud here.
Let me try to say simply this. If you see, to me, I see this as the sort of a triangle, not a triangle, but like a
pyramid.
Pyramid. With Borer at the top as the simplest item. The simplest item. The simplest of the three.
The four is the simplest. Yes, that's the basic. I'm out of here.
That's the basic. The next one is what did we do with the
shmar?
Mishameres? Yeah, Mishameres.
Mishamer?
Yeah. And the third one
actually it's Mishamer, because Mishameres is the name of the clue.
And the third is Merake. What it is. When Borer, at least that was that Robert is trying to write out here, is he's using it biyad, and he's only using as you pointed out the same way as Mishnah Berurah points out. He's only dealing with one of the two substances,
and that makes it according to Robert Borer.
Yeah, that makes it Borer. Okay. That is the most basic thing is from my standpoint. The next one is with the shmarim. Is that now what you're doing? Is you're dealing with two items simultaneously, i.e., the ayin and the shmarim. Okay.
So that's Rav Zeira.
Okay. Right. Fine.
No. I'm saying if you're going to say you're dealing with two items and you're separating them, then you're on board with Rav Zeira, and that's called Meleches Merakim.
Okay.
That's what the Mishnah Berurah says.
Yeah, but
I add a word to the Mishnah.
Yeah, but I want to use Merakim as the third one being described, like the Mishnah Berurah is describing, where we have to add a koach to it. And the koach that you're adding to it makes it more like you're not separating it by yourself. But it's similar to a grama, which you're causing by doing.
So, Alan, I would like to suggest that what you just said now is Rabba as opposed to Rav Zeira. Meaning, the first thing that you said that you have to put an effort into it because you got to separate the two. That's Rav Zeira's definition of classic Merakin, and that's what makes Merakin different than Borer. Comes along Rabba, and he says, "Wait a minute, I don't care whether you're doing it this way, you're doing it that way. What are you, at the end of the day?" Rabba says, "How do you get?" Borer here according to Rabba, and the answer is because the yayin just goes straight through. That's what I'm saying. Without the extra effort that what is the nanua? What is this effort that makes Merakid so unique? Merakid is the effort of Merakid means that I'm really trying to separate two things that are one. In the case of Mishamer, that's what Rabba wants to argue, that's not similar to classical Merakid, and why not? Because it takes no effort whatsoever. I'm not jumping around and shaking a kli. The fact that I'm using a kli doesn't bother me. That could, even in Rabba's frame of reference, that's not part of the guf hamalacha. You could do borrow with a kli, you could do Merakid with a kli. But the question is, what are you accomplishing with the kli? And ultimately, my goal is to define the following, as abstract as it seems. Am I separating two things with that kli, or am I taking one from the other with the kli? And the element that's going to, the variable that's going to determine whether it's A or B, is going to be how much effort you need. The word merakid means, if you need effort, then that effort means that you're separating two things. That's called merakid. In the case of borer, you're taking something from something else. The oddity, the paradox here, says Rabba, is that although Mishameres, is a classical kli that looks like the Merakid, and therefore might even be Merakid, even according to Rabba. I don't know. That's the Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan. But the answer is, the Mishameres operates in a different way than a sieve operates. A sieve is meant to shake something up and separate two things. This kind of sieve is totally different. This sieve simply means that you pour the wine and it goes straight through. And if you pour the wine and it goes straight through, that means you're taking the wine and you're leaving the psolus b'mkoma. If you're leaving the psolus b'mkoma, that's what the Mishnah Berurah uses to illustrate, to demonstrate that you're really not doing any malach in the psolus.
So he's trying to say it's a malach.
But I mean, it's, he's saying that in the case of Merakid, I'm going to prove to you that he's doing an action on the psolus. How do I know that? Yeah. Because in the case of Merakid, he takes such an effort to actively separate the two, that must mean that he's working hard on the psolus.
Yeah,
not so in the case of Meshavar, says Rabbah.
Yeah,
here, he's not doing any effort at all. So there's no shaking of the kli. Then the psolus is where it always was. You know, you pour the psolus in, it was there from the beginning, and it stays at the end. It's because the barrier will not allow the psolus to pass through. The wine just goes through. Take the wine and run with it. That's exactly what you want. You want pure wine. That's called Melechus Boder.
But isn't that what we said before, that the Shmarim and the Yayin were Gufechad, really? Isn't that what we said that earlier?
That was the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is that at certain points in time, you know, at the beginning of the process of manufacturing wine, the sediments and the wine are together as one goof. And that's called shasagitos. And the Rambam says that there's no bar b'guf echad. I don't know if that's relevant to this discussion here about Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Rav Zeira. I would rather not even go that way, so I'll let you think about that if you like.
Okay,
but, you know, that's just going to...
Otherwise, what changed the state? Why did it become different?
No, I'm saying, you know, there's a lundus here as to whether the shmarim is part of the wine or it's not part of the wine, and the Rambam says that it takes a certain time period until the shmarim are separated and they get a personality of their own, and then you could call it psolus, and now you could be chayif of borer. If it's guf echad, then it's not borer. But let's assume that the machlokas Rabbah and Rav Zeira is not relevant to that. Let's assume we're talking at that later stage when the shmarim, you know, emerge as a separate, independent entity, and it's not guf echad anymore, so that I can square even with the Rambam. You understand what I mean? That's what I think we should do. Okay. Yechiel, you want
to... Yeah, I just wanted to... Is the Mishnah Berurah saying dafka, what he thought was the classic definition of Merakid, is you leave the psalms on top and the ochel goes down? Clearly, it could be the opposite. I mean, obviously, if the food substance were bigger than the psalms, you'd want the food to remain on top and the psalms...
I don't know if it would make a difference.
He says that's the way it was, and that's the
right
classic game.
Right.
But the Rambam, would it make a difference? I don't see why it would.
I don't think so. You know, I can't begin to understand, because again, you know, whatever stays on top, it goes on the bottom. You know, it could always shift you. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah sees that in the case of Meshamer, the psolus stays on top. That's very important from his perspective. And again, it's not so much top versus bottom. It means shenishar b'mkomo, meaning that you never really pull the psolus out of the ochel. You follow that point? The idea of Merakid is to pull the psolus out of the ochel and pull at the same time the ochel from the psolus. You're pulling one from the other. That action of pulling he calls ninua. And that's Merakid. Pshuto kimashmo. I keep using that phrase because what I mean to say is that ultimately everything alts licht in der verte. You know, everything inheres in the word itself. The word itself is Merakid. We're not Hasidim here. I mean, maybe we are Hasidim, but we're not dancing now, you know, on Simchas Torah, and certainly not on Chanukah. So who cares about being Merakid? Did you ever stop and think, why is this Malacha called Merakid? You know, does that ever bother anybody's mind?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I understand why Kosev is called Melechus Kosev, and if you don't know that, you'll have to come to my Shia tomorrow. Just kidding. But why is Merakid called Melechus Merakid? Like, give it a break. I can think of all sorts of different words. Why Merakid? And I think the Mishnah Berurah is addressing that question, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, when he adds the word Ninua. And the Ninua is going to prove to me, says the Mishnah Berurah, that I'm acting on behalf of two different Cheftzes that are Biyachad, and now I want to separate them. That makes Merakid into Merakid. Masha Enkein, in the case of Meshamer, says Rav at least, I don't have that element of Merakit. I don't have to dance around. I don't have to work hard to separate two things. Basically, I just have to hold back the psoles, the shmarim, so I'm left with what? With yayin, right? I'm left with yayin. That already is called Meleches Borer. Meleches Borer means to take the psoles out of the ochel, and then you're left with the ochel. You never did anything to the ochel. Take the case, Rabosai, of Kolef. Remember we said Makalef, according to some Rishonim, Yushalmi, blah, 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 is called Meleches Borer. I mean, Mr. Brewer drives me nuts. He says he can't even peel apples on Shabbos. Okay, fine. I have problems with that. Be that as it may, what's going on over here? Why is this Meleches Borer? What did I do to the apple?
Because you end up with...
That's true. Yeah, but what's the maisa? You see, Rabosai, if you're gonna ask the question, what do you end up with? You're in trouble in this sugya. Because there's no difference between Meraki and Borer. I'm willing to take a I'm going to put my reputation on the line. There's no difference between Meleches Meraki and Meleches Borer as far as your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is to separate Ochel Mipsolos. You can stand on your head and do it this way. You can stand on your head and do it that way. But that's what you end up with. You end up with Ochel separated from Solas, Solas separated from Ochel. That's Borer and Merakid, and that's why the Gemara says, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merakid. The answer to the Gemara is that there are two ways of achieving that goal. And I think this Mishnah Brura is working overtime to try to figure out what are these two methods of achieving that same identical goal. And the Nanua is going to indicate why Rabba objects in the case of Mishamir to classify it as Merakit. Why? Because in the case of Mishamir, there's something uniquely, or shall I say, remarkably different than Merakit. There's no Rikud here. We left out the Rikud. Borer is a, in the case of Mishamir, is a real Litvisha Malacha. It's not a Hasidisha Malacha. You know, Merakit is a Hasidisha Malacha. You know, you gotta dance with this Kli. And when you dance with the Kli, you'll accomplish that goal of separating Ochel and Psoles. Not so in the case of Borer. Borer means just take away the Psoles, take away the Ochel, one or the other, you can take your choice. You don't have to shake anything, there's no shake and bake, there's no Rikud, and that's what happens in Mishameres. Rabba says that in Mishameres, in Mishamer, what you're left with is the Psoles Nishar B'mkom. That's what the Mishnah Brura says. What does that mean? You're always left with psoles nishar b'mkom. That's what I want to say, Ali. That's what I want to suggest. That let's take the reisha of the Mishnah Brura, combine it with the seifa. Very hard to do it. The language is not very flexible here. But maybe we could push it in. And if not, we'll say it on our own. That we have to add two different variables. Number one, hapsoles nishar b'mkomo, meaning I didn't do any malacha, any maisa, any pu'ula on the psoles. All my pu'ula was on the yayin. And then I have to add, why is that so? In every case of Merakid, I didn't do any pu'ula on the psoles. The psoles is always nishar b'mkomo. That's my argument.
What pu'ula did you do on the yayin?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You didn't do any pu'ula. If you didn't do any pu'ula, then all you did was you took the yayin. You took the yayin for yourself. Take the yayin and run. Take the yayin and run is called Meleches Borer. That's not Meleches Merakid. Okay, let's. I want to now show you a fascinating Tosfos. You know, we've been working very hard, and I'm not sure I'm there yet on the Machlokas between Rab and Reb Zera. But keep in mind, Rabosai, that there's an underlying premise in this sugya that you won't find anywhere in Masecht Shabbos. And neither Rabo nor Reb Zera question this premise. And that is, you need a hasra, b'shem ha'av. And Tosfos points out that you could really make a major blunder here if you understand this Gemara superficially, without going deeper. This is the Tosfos Mishum Zoreya here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. I think I wrote on the Maariv Mekomos. If I didn't, I apologize. Ein lo hochiach mikan. Now, whenever I see ein lo hochiach, what I do, that's the way I learn, is I take the word ein and I bracket it. Leave out the word ein. Because the havamina to me is more important than the maskan. So what was the havamina of Tosfos? Lo hochiach mikan, let's prove from here, and then he's going to slug this up. did tzorich lahasros atolda mishum ha'av. Again, we have an av called Bore. We have another av called Merakit. The machlokus between Rab and Reb Zera is, what hasra do we give him? Is this a tolda of Borer? Is this a So we're talking about Meshamer. Meshamer, Mishumai Masrim Bey. So the man is about to do Meshamer. He's going to pour his wine into the sieve, right? Into the thing. And now we have to ask ourselves the following question. What hasra is appropriate? The answer is, I can't tell him, don't be Meshamer. Hey, why not? Why can't I just say, don't be Meshamer? Why do I have to get into this whole pluta between Reb Zera and Rabba? Forget about that. I can sideswipe the whole machlokas. I couldn't care less whether Meshamer is a tolda of Borer or it's a tolda of Merakid. What do I care? Just give him a Asra al Teshamer. Tosa says, again, it doesn't say ain't lokia, it says yesh lokia. It doesn't say yesh lokia, it says ain't lokia, but I'm going to read it as yesh lokia before we slug it up. Yesh lokia mikad. There's an underlying premise, and it has nothing to do with the machlokes between Rab and Reb Zera. Did tzarech la'asos atolda mishumah? Rab and Reb Zera are fighting in the boxing ring to figure out what is the av so that we can give him the right hasra. The Gemara says mishumai masrim bay. Meaning we have to find the correct av. Oh, says no. That's not what it's about. Truth be told, you could be master him al teshamer. Everybody's happy with that. That hasra is certainly valid. Hello, what's the machlok shin rabba and Rab Zera? It's going to be what happens if he gave him the wrong hasra. Meaning, he can always take advantage of the hilchas hasra of the opportunity to mention the av. He doesn't have to. He can sideswipe that, make life easier, just give him the name of the tolda. But the name of the av is also a valid hasra. But get it right. Don't get it wrong. If you get the wrong av, then the hasra is
doesn't work.
It's invalid. And therefore, the Gemara wants to know, for example, in the case of Zomer, what are you chayev for? You chayev mishum Zorea, you chayev mishum Kotzer, what are you chayev for? So Tosus says, in Hisrabo mishum Zorea, he's chayev. Why? Not that he had to give Masra mishum Zorea. Let's say Mashkin's Roim, as it told him Zorea. He didn't have to say Al Tashkin's Roim. He could have said so, perhaps. But instead, he said, you're going to be chayef for Zoreh. That's a valid hasra. Why? Because take advantage of the opportunity, if you will, and utilize the av. But get it right. Aval, bereish perik tolid. Our sugya. Mashma ktsas tzorech lahasos hatolda mishum av. You might think that, mishumai masrim bay means we got to get the av. Nothing else will do. And he quotes the two days of Rabbi Rav Yosef. Gam zeyesh lidchos. That also can be rejected. There's no proof. You could have given Asra al teshamer. Hachi pirusho. Bishumai masr beshe chayev. Meaning, if you want to give Masra and the Shema told, that's fine. But if you want to take advantage of the opportunity to give Masra b'shema av, is then Rabbi says, Mishum borer. And here, Tosus holds like Rabbeinu Chananel, Avolim Hisru Bo Mishum Merakid Potur. It's exclusively Borer. Kevon Demasrehu Mishum Dover She'eno Domelo. Now, I'd love to understand what that means. I can give you a psychological explanation, but before we get to that, here's where the psychology seems to play a role. He says, Hu Savar, can you say who's who? I mean, two different languages. Who's the who? Have of
the separator.
Right, the violator, right, the separator. Who's Sava Shumalikbo? Come on. You got to be joking. I didn't come to learn the lumbus in the aim of learning set as to whether or not this is Borer or not Borer. To me, this is Merakid. You tell me Borer. What do I know about Borer? This is not Borer. You're joking with me. Come on. This is not to be taken seriously. There's no violation of Borer. Or the other way around. he's a lab that he understands what Borer is all about. You told him not to be merakid? Come on, who are you fooling? That's maligbo. So this is the psychological element. I feel a little bit disappointed. This for me is anticlimactic. I wish Tosus wouldn't have added those three words, Savashu maligbo. I would leave that out. The Hasra has to be accurate because the Hasra has to mention the name of the Isser. And if you didn't violate Merakid, or according to Rabbi, you didn't violate Malachas Borer, then that's not a valid Asra. I forget about the psychology. Aval Hisru Bo Stam Al Tishamer Chai. Chai according to who? Everybody. That was never an issue. So it's interesting. In the Havamin of Tosfos, Tosis thought that there's no such thing as Asra on the Tolb. There's got to be Asra on the Av. And then he adds the word Ein. Reject that. It's not a valid proof. Truth is, you could be master b'shem ha-tolb. B'shem ha-tolb. Tosis never questioned the premise that you can be master b'shem the Av. But again, that's not really accurate because he says Ein lo chiyach mikan the tzarch la'asos hatol mishumav. In other words, it's interesting. The Tosus has two possibilities. Either the hasra has to be in the shame of the av, or the hasra could be either in the shame of av or in the shame of the tolda. He never questioned the premise that hasra b'shem av is valid. He had a question, he vacillated as to whether Asra b'shem HaTolda is valid. His final conclusion seems to be that yes, you have two options. You can either give him Asra b'shem HaTolda or b'shem HaAv. But Milsa the Pshita, that the Asra b'shem HaAv is definitely valid. So it means Rabosai, Tosis is really vacillating. We'll take a look. If somebody could be kind enough to open the Rambam for me, I don't know, Mitch, if you have the possibility of doing that, just to save me a second of time. According to Shitas HaTosfos, Tolda is a Tolda. What do I mean? That's a tautology, right? A equals A. What do I mean to say that according to Tosis, because we see the Rambam is not like that. According to Tosis, a Tolda is a Tolda. Which means what? It's related to the Av. In other words, there's no question according to Tosis that Tolda is not an entity unto itself. It could be that it's a valid Asra, but Tosis never questioned that the name of the Isur is the Av. The Rambam seems to assume that the name of the Isur is not the Av or the Tolda. What's the name of the Isur?
Yeah. No, what's the name of the Av? He's talking about
in all the cases, whether it's Zorea, whether it's Borea, whether it's Meraka, whatever it is, no, you can definitely give a Asra in the shame of the Av. The shame Ha'av is definitely a valid shame Ha'isur. Tolda, I'm not sure. Tolda is only a Tolda, so I don't know. Tolda vacillates. Could you give Asra the shame Ha'tolda? Is that called an Isur? It's not really an Isur, it's just a way or a method of violating the Av. It doesn't have a status on its own. Maybe it does have a status on its own, but certainly the Shema Iser is written in the Av. And whether or not you must have a Hasra B'Shema Av, Tosus vacillates back and forth. At the end he says, fine. You can have Hasra B'Shema Av, but you can also have another alternative, Hasra B'Shema Tolda. If you're implementing the option of a Hasra B'Shema Av, you better get it right. The Rama has a different sheet. Do we have the Rambam? I think I wrote it on the Maamar Komos, but maybe I... No, it should be Perek Aleph, I think. No? Where do we put the Maamar Komos page? Yeah, thank you.
Perek Aleph.
Perek Aleph, I'll look at this. Then we'll see Tosin and Sanhedrin. Then. What time is it? We still have 5-10 minutes?
7 minutes.
The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchas Shabbos, tells us that there are 39 malachas in Shabbos, and if he violates any one of those malachas, if he does it without a hasra b'meizid he's chayv kares. If he violates the malacha with edim and hasra, he gets skila. And if he violates the malacha b'shogeg, he's chayv a korban chatos. Then the Rambam writes, kol makom shenemar b'hilchus Shabbos also dover zeh chayv hariyu chayv chayv kares. So whenever I use the word chayv, says the Rambam, the word chayv certainly means without question that you chayv kares at least. But im hayu edim vehasra chayev skila. Rabosai, what does the Rambam forget to tell me? And he deliberately forgot it because it's wrong. That the hasra has to be on the av malach. The Rambam doesn't say a word. It says the minchas tiru. According to the Rambam, you don't have to mention the av. Just tell him not to be.
Not to breakfast.
A chal shabbos. Exactly. Al techalil es hashavs. So it's interesting. Tosus has a possibility, again he rejects it, that maybe every hasra on a tolda has to mention the name of the av. Meaning a tolda is garnished. There's no such thing as a shame iser tolda. There's no iser mashkiz roim. Mashkiz roim is only a form or an application of melecha zoreh. So you have to mention the name of the iser. The name of the iser is zoreh. The Rambam went a step further. The Rambam says there's no iser of zoreh. Where does it say in the Torah that you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos? The name of the iser is kol melecha lo tasa. And if you're telling him that he's violating the iser of melecha lo tasa, that itself is the hasra. I don't have to mention which av. Just like Tosis has a tzad, and then he rejects it to say, I don't have to mention which tolda. The tolda is irrelevant. Tolda is only a means to an end, to violate what? The av. So Tosis thinks maybe you need hasra b'shem av. And that's why the Gemara says on Daf Kufla Menches, Mishamer Mishum Mai Masrim Ba. Which is the av? Is it Borer? Is it Barakin? We got to get the Av in there because that's the name of the game. That's the name of the Isra. The Rambam, according to Michas Chinuch at least, he holds that you don't even have to mention the Av. The Av is not the name of the Isra. The Av is also just one method of violating what? Kol Malach Losas, Chil Shabbos. So it's fascinating, Rabbi Osai. We have now three possibilities in terms of Asra. We have one possibility to say that the Tolda is also Shem Isra. And if I can give you Asra in the name of the Tolda. We have another possibility to say, no, you can't give Asra in the name of the Tolda. Tosa rejects this, but you have to give Asra in the name of the Av. The Tolda has no Shem Isra, it's only the Av that has the Shem Isra. And then you have a third possibility that says, forget about mentioning the Av. The Av itself is also not the Shem Isra. The Shem Isra is the Malach itself. In general, the Malach itself. Now, again, I'm going to ask you, Mitch, a second thing. This is a real chutzpah. If you don't mind finding Tosus in Sanhedrin for me. Samach Gimel Amid Aleph, I think it is. Let's see. Yeah.
While he's finding it. There's two purposes to Hasra, isn't there? One is to stop him from doing the thing. You see, they're notifying him that he's doing an Easter. And the second one is to tell him if he does it, what he's going to be.
Right. That's not a question. In other words, the different opinions that I was presenting has nothing to do with the honor. You have to say in all cases, and there are other dinim, he has to be in Kabul, he has to be Matya, he has to be Misa, he has to do Tokidei Achilas Pras, and Tokidei Achilas all the time. I wasn't going into all the details about Hasra. I was just asking, as far as mentioning the Shema Isur, in Kol HaTorah Kula, I have no problem. You know, man is about to eat Bosa B'Cholov, I tell him, don't eat Bosa B'Cholov. That's the name of the baby. But in Shabbos, it becomes quite complicated, because there's an umbrella organization called Melech HaShabbos. Then we break it down to 39... almost, and then on top of that, we break it down into a million and one tolda. So I don't know exactly where the hasra falls over here, but this is fascinating. Tosus in Masechta Sanhedrin raises the following possibility. He wants to say, this is based on a sugya in Beitza Daf Yud Beis, that what time is it? Because this is a little bit. I need 5 minutes. I don't have. So you know what? I don't want to botch it up. This is a beautiful, beautiful Tosus. If you have a chance, I would highly recommend reading this Tosus. I mean, Tosus wants to know whether or not Malacha should be what's called a Lav Shebechlotz. Okay? Lav Shebechlotz means when the Torah has many, many different Isurim that are included under one lav in the Torah. Now, in the case of Malach on Shabbos, if we say that there's one Isur called Malecha Shabbos, which is a Minchas Kiddush in the Rambam, then I don't have a Hava meaning to call it a Lav Shebichlolos. But if I hold like Tosfos' Shita, that every Av sets itself up as a new Isur, this Tosfos takes on a whole new meaning. This might be a Lav Shebichlolos, because in the Torah it's formulated as one Lav, but it's really many, many different Isurim that are included in the same one.
You could get multiple punishments, it's only one.
Well, if it's one Isur that's formulated, if it's many, many different Isurim, and it's formulated by the Torah as one Isur, you don't get any punch. Because the Lav Shebe Chlolos is potter from Malchus. So thanks for your help, Mitch. Everyone should have a wonderful Chanukah.